You're listening to Tweets Ahead, an Irish podcast where we discuss our favourite tweets and trends from the week. Whether they're social, political, or from the world of sports, we love the unpredictable mess that is Twitter. Enjoy the intro music. Welcome to season two of Tweets Ahead, an Irish podcast that's all about talking tweets, Twitter, and the ridiculousness of the Twitterverse. Somehow, gentlemen, we've made it to season two. My name is Fergal. I'm joined, as always, by Sean and Cormac. Lads, did you think we'd make it to a second season of doing this?
Well, we only took 2 weeks off, so...
Yeah, but it ended up being like an eventful enough 2 weeks on Twitter, at least. I mean, a lot's happened.
Well, like Leo Messi, I couldn't get out of my contract. So, yeah, looking forward.
as much as you threatened to leave, we just wouldn't let you go.
Absolutely.
You are the main event, Cormac. We couldn't let that happen. Sean, thanks. You are also part of the podcast.
I don't know what to say about that. I thought we were both main events. I thought it was like, you know, it was like the Super Bowl, and then like halftime he comes on, does his, like, finish up the Super Bowl.
Are you the Shakira to his Beyonce?
I have noticed, Sean, that on our little document, I now have two responsibilities, whereas you only have one.
And Fergal, responsibility?
Fergal also has two. Something is afoot.
What's your second responsibility?
Impressions, apparently.
How come I didn't get a second responsibility?
I don't know. You want to talk about that with HR?
I would take that up with management. Yeah. You know, I can talk to Karen in HR about it.
Yep. She's out of office till Tuesday.
Yeah. Gentlemen, how are your weeks? Sean, how's your week? Leading up to this.
Yeah. I was playing football there Tuesday night. I thought I had my best game since the COVID breakdown. Cormac's laughing.
Cormac, do you want to comment on that, as we were both there for that game?
He was managed through the game fairly well by other players around him. I have to say, yeah. Although,
I scored a decisive goal, though. I created the equaliser.
You created
something out of nothing.
What I would describe as the goal to turn the game.
Thanks.
You know, turn definitely. I was the one that happened to score that goal, for anybody wondering. But we did all we could, Sean.
I think we're about 2 minutes into the podcast. I think Cormac's coming across as a bit of an egomaniac so far. Cormac, how was your week?
It was okay. I didn't do too much other than work. I know what your next question is.
Yeah. Any purchases, anything like that, Cormac?
I was bequeathed a gift, which for my birthday, which I'm very happy with. It's a shirt, and it's called Best Cat Dad Ever. And I say this while both of you are aware I'm sitting here with my cat on top of the keyboard, pretty much.
Ladies, he is single.
Yes, believe it or not, I am. And outside of that, I'm also looking forward to the special offers in Aldi this week for pet. So, yeah, that's
great. What's coming. No, it's been a great 2 weeks.
Can check back with me next week to see if I did actually buy them.
Well, listen, before we get into the meat and potatoes of the podcast, are you looking forward to getting back into it? Did you miss the podcast over the last 2 weeks?
I am actually looking forward to it, yeah. More so, when I seen something happen, I was kind of going, oh, I've nobody really to, you know,
yeah,
vent to about this to, apart from my family who didn't want to listen.
Both your parents being quite elderly, Cormac, I can't imagine.
Yeah, my nephew just did not want to know.
Yeah, yeah. I kept on screenshotting really good tweets and realizing I have nowhere to put them. So,
exactly. Sean, what about you?
I was just looking forward to seeing the two of you again. So,
yeah. Oh, shut up. All right, let's move on to the content. Welcome to the breakdown. Everybody wondering where the cat's. Okay, so in terms of what's been happening on Twitter for the last week or so, Sean, going to come to you first. What have you been looking at this week?
I suppose the biggest thing on Irish Twitter this week was Luke Ming Flanagan and the debacle which happened surrounding his Twitter account being hacked, apparently. So we're going to get into a bit of an investigation and kind of pull it apart and see what actually did happen.
Are you going to parole this?
I am going to parole this, yes. I can't do a Belgian accent. Maybe Cormac can.
I would have thought, Sean, actually you're more of a Columbo type figure.
Actually, that's a good call.
There is a touch of Columbo about you.
Yeah. You stick a big like a beige overcoat on him, and I'll tell you what, you've the makings of a half decent film.
Sean is always asking just one more question.
I just need a cigar now. So
we're on to something. We can revisit that.
I think so. Yeah, Halloween is coming up anyway.
Columbo has entered the building, and he's going to start off today with what happened. The first thing in the day was that Luke Ming Flanagan, he was on Twitter and he was defending Saoirse McHugh against Irish Farmers Association, saying how she got more votes than your organisation has real members, and was kind of a white knight to her. And then later on in the night, a funny tweet, as you might say, appeared. It was 2:30 in the morning, and Luke Ming Flanagan just seemed to have tweeted Saoirse McHugh skinny dipping, spelling Saoirse incorrectly. So there was a lot of furore then on Twitter, people kind of thinking that did Luke Ming Flanagan just think that Twitter was Google, and
just to clarify for anyone listening, like the tweet itself looked like a Google search. So it looked as if he was looking for bikini photos or swimsuit photos of Saoirse.
Yeah, looked very dodgy. One, a bit dodgy. One Twitter user also screenshotted the deleted tweet, and then one of Luke Ming Flanagan, who was earlier on when he was sitting in a meeting as an MEP, he was treasonous. So he just put up Luke Ming Flanagan accidentally tweets out a search query while looking for photos of Saoirse McHugh at 3:00 in the morning. Drunk on that, this is very unbecoming behavior.
That was a few weeks ago, wasn't it? He was on like a European MP's kind of a meeting, and he was just kind of business on top, boxers in the bottom, wasn't he?
Yeah, that seems to be the case. Yeah,
you're being kind, even saying boxers, to be honest with you, from what I've seen. The photo.
Why would you do that? Or was he asleep and he just kind of got up like really?
I think he did it on purpose.
Just for a laugh.
I don't know what's going on in general in the European Parliament, but a couple of weeks ago, I also seen a photo of his name escapes me at the moment, but his RT's European Union correspondent was also outside the European Union in full suit, blazer, shirt, tie, and shorts doing his interview. So it seems to be something going on when it comes to pants.
Listen, I know we're all working from home at the minute, but...
Yeah. But what do you think anyway of the search query?
Well, was it...
It's an actual thing, do you know that?
I have since, for obviously... purposes of this podcast, I have entered that into Google, and I didn't realize that it was a real thing. I thought he was just
apparently Apparently,
that is some commitment to research, Cormac. We thank you for it.
That is one of my titles here.
Apparently, research. It was The Guardian a couple of months ago. Saoirse McHugh and her boyfriend posed on one of the beaches, I think it was Arran Beach.
Yeah.
Skinny dipping.
What?
Yeah, no, it's a real thing. Yeah,
it's real.
Oh, I thought it was just this is a photo of her from like Facebook or something, just on the beach.
No, it's real. It was in a newspaper article. Yeah, so it's from the look of it anyway. It seemed that he was typing in at a Google search, but Columbo here on a bit of further investigation, was kind of thinking that his claim was that people hacked his account. So I was just wondering then, I was kind of going, I wonder what his password would be. So we put it up there in the Twitter account and we got a couple of answers back.
Yeah, Twitter and Instagram account,
and
Sean.
Instagram, yeah, sorry, you did the Instagram one.
Sorry.
Yeah, a couple of passwords we got back. His password could have been iHeartWeed with EE as 2 3 3s.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's important now, but you have to have different characters in your password.
Yeah,
well,
you do, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
You require numbers.
Legalize it one. The Jamcast podcast sent that in. They also sent another one. Give me all the weed one, which would have been
That's a good Irish podcast, by the way. Jamcast pod. On Twitter.
Cap understands wrote in Ming one.
Yeah, that's the. Yeah, I like that one as well. That's real simple as well, and egotistical enough, you know. that's the I understood that reference podcast or another Irish one.
Someone else, a Twitter user, put up underpants, which was in relation to that.
That is specific.
Funny enough, that is my password for me.
And then someone else put in cutting turf 420.
That was Ash Linky on Twitter. She sounds dodgy though.
I like her.
So my question for you is then, was he hacked? What do you think?
No was my initial thought, but he's gotten, for the purposes of this podcast and being sued, I want to say yes. Maybe. I don't know, he's gotten the RTE kind of tweeted earlier that he has gotten the Belgian police involved.
Yeah,
that, so apparently he's actually, that's where it come from.
Yeah, he's actually trending on Twitter at the moment. He's got in contact with the Belgian police. Apparently, and I saw this during the week as well, that a couple of eagle-eyed tweeters were looking through his tweets, and the tweet about Saoirse McHugh skinny dipping came from something called Tweetcast, which is a platform for pulling out your tweets, to, you know, managing your tweets really.
Okay.
And he also claimed that there was an IP address connected to it from Belgium, so he's got in contact with the Belgian police to find out who was at the end of that IP address. So it would seem so far, and from the tweets tonight and from the trending tonight, that he was actually hacked. So
could be, lad could be using the VPN for, he seems the kind of lad who would have a dodgy stick in his laptop. So maybe he was using a VPN and kind of saw the opportunity to use it as an excuse. But yeah, no, he's got a strong enough case to say he was hacked.
Again, for the purposes of not getting sued, I'd say it's very possible that he was hacked.
Yeah, well, apparently I was looking into it as well. There was someone down in Cork, a politician down in Cork. I can't remember her name now, but her Facebook got hijacked by ISIS members.
What?
So it's like it's something that happens.
Is this pretty common? Not even hacking, but like kind of tweeting out stuff like this by accident, like Google searches and stuff.
I was just actually later on, I was just going to bump into like the top 5 accidental tweets of all time. If you'd like to listen
lovely.
To it.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll get onto that in just 1 second. But no, I feel sympathy for him. My Spotify account was hacked once. That was really irritating.
Why would someone hack your Spotify account though?
I don't know, but like my whole,
what kind of stuff did you listen to, Sean?
It was just this one thing called it was Lacrim. It was a French rapper.
It was like so erotic novels, or
do you not have some very local connections to France? No,
did you? I do, yeah, but
did you follow that line of inquiries? No,
I didn't think of that. No. But the that kind of ruined my Spotify playlist because this person just kept on playing this French rap the whole time.
That one song ruined your Spotify playlist.
Yeah, do you know at the end of the year Spotify does like, you know, your top tunes of 2019, and because this one was played so often, it was just all this French rap and stuff, you know.
Do hackers not think of the consequences of the lives they're affecting when you do stuff like this? Sean's Spotify playlist was ruined.
And also, can we just, you know, hold on a minute now, in defense of French rap, can we put out here the Daft Punk, Eiffel 99,
and Eiffel 99,
Bum Funk MCs.
It's not Eiffel 65.
I don't know what it was.
Pretty sure Eiffel 99 is something you order in your shop with a fucking cone.
No idea. But anyway, as I said, you know, that's against, you know, current recent French rap.
Yeah, it is. But moving back on to Ming, it does look as if it's being reported to police and it's being investigated. Saoirse McHugh, in fairness, made a big laugh of it. There was something in the Senate this week about Michael Darcy leaving the Senate to go in between lobby groups or something. So she put up Michael Darcy photo revolving door on her Twitter account, spelling Michael incorrectly. So obviously referring to the Luke Ming.
That's good attention to detail, to be fair.
It is, yeah. No. But that was that. Would you like to hear my top accidental tweets?
Yeah, yes. Of course. I like your list, Sean. You always have a good list.
I like a good list, yeah. But obviously, this wasn't at the start of the week, it looked as if it was an accidental tweet. So that's why I was researching them. But it turns out it looked as if it was an actual hack. But some of these accidental tweets, they've claimed their Twitter account have been hacked before. So a couple of ones. I'm going to start off with Charlie Sheen. He accidentally tweeted his phone number once when he thought he DM'd Justin Bieber, trying to get in contact with Justin. He had to actually like get rid of the phone number after. Next up was Ed Balls. Did you ever hear of him?
Yeah.
He's a UK politician, isn't he?
Yeah. He once tweeted his own name when trying to Google himself. So he did that on the 28th of April, and that annually is now known as Ed Balls Day because there's just a tweet saying Ed Balls
on the 28th of April.
Yes, is that that's my birthday.
Yeah,
no, you're born on Ed Balls Day.
Ed Balls is my star sign.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah, Ed Balls is your star sign. Another accidental tweet which got deleted a while ago. Rita Ora, she tweeted something a while ago where she was she'd release her new single early if she got 100,000 retweets. And then when she only got 1,300, she deleted it and claimed that her Twitter account got hacked and that she'd never release music early.
Ah, oh, come on.
Yeah. Did you know about that one?
Well, I did know about that one, yeah. Why she didn't just say that, like an intern or something in her record company done it. I can't understand why she went with the hacked thing. That's what gave away the game for me.
Yeah.
You know. You could have played that one off.
Like, just imagine being not like just that, not self-aware of your own popularity to say it was 100,000 retweets. Like, what the hell? Beyonce wouldn't get 100,000 retweets.
Yeah, it'd be very hard to get that sort of traction. Number two, then, one of the best accidental tweets was somebody tweeted Donald Trump asking them to retweet a picture of their parents to remember them, they were dead or something, and they actually sent him a tweet of Rose and Fred West, which he then retweeted.
It's not as bad, but do you remember that thing that was going around Twitter and Facebook of it was Marty McFly's parents from Back to the Future? It was like, it was the old photo of them from the movie, the black and white one. And like somebody was saying like, oh, this is an old photo I found in a car park outside Tesco. If somebody's lost it, can you please retweet it? We'd like to return it to its owner. My mum like reposted that on Facebook. I go, Jesus Christ.
There are some people actually, yeah. And then my number one accident tweet went to the cricketer Ian Botham. Is it Botham or Boham?
Botham.
Botham. Ian Botham.
He used to do ads for Shredded Wheat or something, Cormac, didn't he?
Did he?
He did. He was a Shredded Wheat man, yeah.
Well,
exclusively.
Exclusively, yeah. Well, he tweeted a very provocative picture of himself accidentally.
Just a cricket bat.
Just a cricket bat, but he claimed that he was hacked also. And yeah, well, it was more than just a cricket bat. There was a lot of
wicket,
you know, comments about wickets and stumps and etc.
He stumps.
Stumps, oh God.
Yeah, so he claimed it was hacked at the end, so I don't know, it can happen.
Cool. I'm not sure about the Trump one. Oh, okay, somebody should be aware of that one. But the beefy Botham one was, at the time I remember, it was quite a large issue. That way, because at the time he was still one of those people that, although he'd been retired quite a while, as Fergal mentioned, he was in lots of ads and he'd pop up on TV every now and again, and he'd still be on the likes of A Question of Sport and stuff like that. So he was still quite in the public eye. So for that to happen, like, it's career ending for the likes of him. Definitely.
Yeah, I haven't seen him on a box of Shredded Wheat since.
No, I haven't. I haven't even eaten Shredded Wheat since. For him.
No, I haven't. Just put me right off. Sean, thanks a million. I'm going to go to myself next and be that selfish, leave Cormac for the main event.
Would you like me to cue you in?
Yeah, go on. It'd be nice. I never get that. Like,
right, well, we're going to go on to Fergal next, folks, and see what he has for us this week. Fergal, what have you got?
Is that your impression of me as a host?
No, it's not. No, definitely not.
It'd be a lot worse.
Yeah. Look at, by the way, people listening can't see, but Sean is literally just laid back now. Just his walk is on, arms flayed, legs wide open. Just, yeah.
Sean is spread out on his couch right now as if, like, I am done.
Yeah,
like,
I know, like,
I'm just going to comment on the lads' two topics. Like, I am.
He's just going to go, like, every now and again, he's just going to chirp in, but that's mad. Yeah.
Do I normally say that? Do I?
No.
See, no. It's a great, like, you know, relief when you've got your bit done. You see, that's all.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But it is usually a great relief when you get your bit done.
Anyway, Mr. Fergal, give it to us.
Yeah, so this week I wanted to come up at you guys with a pretty big story. I know Cormac's got some big stuff after me regarding Trump and Dundalk FC and how they did in Europe. But I wanted to attack the big story of the night and the subway scandal that's been rocking Ireland at the minute. The food franchise Subway. I know that Irish Supreme Court have classified Subway's collection of breads as cake. So Subway bread is no longer considered bread legally in Ireland. Are either of you surprised by this?
No. Definitely not. As somebody who used to not work in Subway, but in the same building as a Subway, I would have had my fair share of them. And it's not a surprise. No, definitely not.
Like, when you see how
an overly sweet kind of taste of it,
yeah. And when you see how, I don't know, I'm not a baker, but when you see how small the bread is before they actually bake it, like, there's no way it's good for you.
Incidentally, what was your favorite one? Does anyone have a favorite one?
Oh, honey oak. I went for honey oak every time. That's got to be have a high sugar content, honey.
That's fair.
Wasn't there one like tomato, herbs and cheese, something like that?
Yeah, there was. There was like I think that was my favorite one too. But there was like a nine grains one, which I don't believe anymore. I just don't believe it. I don't believe it was nine grains at all. It was nine sugars.
It's hilarious to think that people thought that Subway was healthy.
Well, we'll get into that. Like, so the story was kind of trending yesterday, especially in Ireland. But I know the Guardian and Journal.ie were both kind of tweeting out about it. But apparently, as the court pointed out, in Ireland's Value Added Tax Act of 1972, A kind of it says what is a staple food and what's considered like an extra food, so like a dessert, stuff like that, and it's down to sugar content. And I didn't notice, but apparently, in when it comes to sugar and bread, it shall not exceed 2% of the weight of flour included in the dough. So there can't be that, you know, it can't exceed 2% of the weight of the flour.
Otherwise, it's just cake.
Well, yeah. So Subway's was coming in at 10%. 10%.
Delighted.
That's so much. So it's five times the amount that was legally allowed to be bread or considered bread when it comes to taxation in Ireland, which is absolutely massive. So I kind of the story kind of first caught my eye when Aisling B, the wonderful Irish comedian and actress Aisling B, tweeted, kind of retweeted the Guardian story, but also included that we will not be lied to, we being Ireland, I guess. From now on, they'll have to be described as cakes with ham in them. But she also pointed out a really good piece from the article by The Guardian, where she said, like, information on this article I love. In 2014, Subway started removing the flour whitening agent from its baked goods after a petition. The ingredient, so the same whitening agent, is commonly used in the manufacture of yoga mats and carpet underlay. And is banned by the EU and Australia from use in food products.
So, like, how was this ever included? Like, do you know, I kind of always be sitting wondering, when I hear stuff like this, what she's talking about,
yeah.
How did it ever come to a scenario where did somebody stood around and goes, do you know what, we should put that into food? Well,
funny you say that, Cormac. So, my educational background, even though it has nothing to do with what I do now, was in health, as you know yourself, Cormac. You did the same degree in the same college. But
yeah, look at us.
Look at us now. Big shots.
Yes.
But I went on, when I did further education in Scotland, I knew a woman in my course who used to work as a food scientist for Costa, the coffee franchise, Costa. And part of her job was creating new recipes for cakes and stuff and Costa coffee. And she said that when they kind of start to exceed their sugar and flour limits on the product, they'd put granite into the cakes. Granite. So cement. They would literally put cement, like low levels of cement, into the cakes to like bulk it up and meet the kind of weight requirement or whatever it was that they needed to legally call it a cake or whatever. So I doubt they do that as much these days, but like, yeah, back in the day, like if you're in Costa having a cake, likelihood is, you know, it was like 5% cement or something, but it was enough. So basically use cement because you could eat it and it wouldn't poison you and you'd pass it out. Like,
mad.
It's crazy.
That's mad, isn't it?
Has anybody looked into the possibility that this is all a big conspiracy by Big Bread to get rid of Subway? I mean, how do we know that?
Bread, you reckon this is Pat the Baker?
How do we know that Pat the Baker, Brennan's, and Johnston, Mooney, and O'Brien
not together
aren't behind us?
I'm just saying,
it's just occurred to me.
Like, do Johnston, Mooney, and O'Brien count as one member, or they're coming out as three seats at the table?
Maybe they've brought their own. Each brought their own solicitors, but I don't know. It's starting to stink a little bit to me.
Yeah, well, funny you mentioned stink. So a lot of people were kind of tweeting on this story saying that I know someone called Hazel tweeted that their bread literally smells like feet. It's disgusting. And I've never noticed that, but lots and lots of people were tweeting under like the story saying that anytime I walk past that place in the mall, the smell would make me nauseous. WTF, I was just talking to a friend about this. I'm glad I'm not the only one who noticed it smells like feet. There's lots and lots of this, like lots of people saying that. I've never noticed. So I was kind of walked past over thinking that smells nice. I don't know whether that says something about me, but I've never noticed that.
Would that not be more of an indication of that maybe there's something wrong with our feet?
No. Why does my feet smell like a BMT?
Yeah. Well, that's what I know. I could be wrong. I don't know. Yeah. Sean,
what do you think? It?
Yeah. That's it, Sean.
Yeah. But Niamh Mooring tweeted out that I might just stand outside my local Subway and scream at them, let them eat cake. Seen lots of stuff about, you know, I think that Kirsten Dunst, Marie Antoinette movie, lots of screenshots from that. Someone just, this is my favorite tweet about it. It's crude, but I like it. Someone called Jennifer Taylor kind of tweeted under the story, Subway tastes like shit. Hashtag sandwich shartist. That's really good.
God.
Oh, God.
It's terrible. But yeah, there's some kind of funny, you mentioned kind of people thinking Subway was healthy food, Cormac. Some lad called Tony Keys earnestly, because I was kind of up to this Twitter account, earnestly tweeted under it, I'm honestly shocked because this is my go-to health food.
What?
Subway was healthy.
I mean, they've not got a great track record these days, Subway, on the whole healthy thing. Wasn't one of the guys who was front and center of their campaign for the whole
Adam Sandler.
Oh my God, Jared, Subway Jared.
Yeah, didn't he later get convicted of some pretty dodgy stuff?
He's a paedophile.
He's a paedophile, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's a convicted paedophile, yeah.
Exactly, so.
Not
that by eating their salads or bread, you're going to become a paedophile, but...
it wasn't one again. Paedophiles have to eat, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah,
but my favorite thing about this was just Twitter has that habit of producing completely mundane arguments and weird comments underneath stuff for like no reason. But somebody underneath the journal.ie's kind of retweeted the story called Casey hashtag nasty woman. tweeted under it, and it sounds like a bot, like Subway paid her to tweet underneath this. I don't know, listen to this and tell me what you think. So this is Casey's tweet.
Read it like this... a robot.
Listen, impressions are under Cormac's job description for the podcast, not mine.
Please give me an extra.
You would know that if you had extra jobs, Sean. So Casey tweeted, this just made me hungry. I'm one of those Americans. Live fast, too late to die young. Never was going to leave a pretty corpse, but YOLO. When it comes to food, once in a while at least. I love Italian BMT and sweet onion chicken, teriyaki on Italian, whatever the Irish call it now.
Definitely sounds like a bot.
Doesn't that sound written? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is her name like Casey 01234567899?
No, it's at Dog Star Girl.
Yeah, they're putting together just three words together in a mishmash.
Yeah.
That's their new thing.
Well, what I love about is there's just a really weird comment under it just saying, just focuses on the fact that Casey, Robot Casey, used the acronym YOLO, and some guy called Chris F or at Digital Pigeon is his name. But how is it that YOLO has come to mean YOLO, so do stupid stuff while you can, instead of YOLO, so take care of yourself while you're still here? I've never really understood how people feel YOLO is a call to recklessness. Lol. And so that sounds like it was written by Lonely Island, that one.
Yeah, that's another one. Definitely another one.
But yeah, just Twitter being inane and mundane and altogether weird. How do you guys feel about Subway bread being classified as cake?
Delighted for them.
Probably still going to eat it.
Yeah, I'm going to eat the crap out of it. Yeah.
I haven't been in one in years and haven't had one in years, but like it would not stop me from getting one if I decided I wanted it.
For my birthday, I want a Subway meatball marinara cake.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
It's not up to me and Sean to get that
for Ed Balls Day.
Yeah.
On Ed Balls Day,
they have to have meatballs.
I want a traditional Ed Balls Subway meatball marinara.
You know, we'll see, but it's not up to myself and Sean to get that for you. So I don't know why you're saying to us that that's what you want.
Just asking.
We'll have a chat about it.
All right. Actually, just to wrap it up, I don't know. Again, Twitter just been weird. Someone did tweet out that they were very proud of Ireland for making this call. Pink Freud.
Oh, very good.
Yep. Says, I fucking love this country. We're going to start swearing in a podcast now, I think.
I think so.
Absolute legend. Stepping up to giant American corporations. Let's face it, America never would. We are not as beholden to lobbyists like the USA just yet. Let's keep making sure we beat them back. They will be fleeing the US economy soon enough. I feel like Pink Freud has not heard about the whole Apple tax issue that's going on right now between Ireland and the EU.
It's one way of standing up to the corporate power.
Yeah.
Is this capitalist Ireland he's referring to, or socialist made up Ireland? Who knows?
I just, again, there's just bizarre stuff happening underneath that. Another guy responds to him saying, I used to hate all lobbying until I realized there are different types. I used to assume they're all corporate, but there are many fighting for decent causes. Americans will stand up, but the only way to do it is by force. Americans. Oh. The American government
stand
doesn't.
By.
Yeah, you stand by, you subway bastards. The American government doesn't represent its people. To which Pink Floyd was back, best of luck with revolution. We're all rooting for you. So yeah, that's Twitter for you. But yeah, that was my big trend of the week, which I felt pretty passionate about, as you could tell. Cormac, what were you looking at this week? I know you got some big stories. You want to dive right in?
Fergal, I was about to dive right into the huge news of Dundalk being into the Europa League group stages. But there's huge breaking news here in fantasy football, and I cannot believe that you predicted this. Brewster is on the move. So he is.
For anybody who didn't listen to our fantasy football bonus episode last season, I foolishly purchased a young lad from Liverpool for 4.5 million, and he's just been sold to
Sheffield United.
Sheffield United. So I will be justified in the end.
Okay, well, look, on to the actual big news in town, in the county, in the province, in the country, in Europe, dare I say the world, possibly, who knows, we'll see. Dundalk, our little old town, are into the Europa League group stages for the second time in their history, second time since 2016-17 season. The best team from the Faroe Islands, lads, Key is there, is their name.
Was their name Key or KI? Because I was watching
last night, they were pronouncing it KI on RT.
Well, Brian Kerr was saying Key, and then
I'd go with Brian Kerr, considering he managed in the
Faroe Islands.
Oh, is right, yeah.
And just because he's Brian Kerr,
yeah, obviously.
So, I mean, look, did you watch the game? We were a huge trend on Twitter last night.
I definitely watched the game.
Did you?
I actually did. I don't know why I said it like that. It sounded like I was faking it. No, I did. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, so goals from Sean Murray, Daniel Cleary, Daniel Kelly, in between a goal from some lad whose name I can't pronounce.
Yeah, those guys. All the lads.
From KI or Key. In the end, I think it was a kind of expected win, but plenty of people on Twitter getting behind Dundalk last night. Paul McGrath was tweeting, Dundalk's own Steve Staunton was tweeting, Richie Sadlier, RTE, the FAI, although the less said about them the better, I suppose. And then today came the draw. Did we see the draw?
I saw it.
Yeah, I saw the results of the draw. Yeah,
I was following the draw on Twitter today when I should have been working, but anyway, and we've been drawn in the same group as Arsenal, Rapid Vienna, and Molde, whatever you want to.
So managed by Ole, didn't they?
They were managed by Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Oh yeah. United.
So look, I would like to think we have a good chance. The FAI tweeted out last night, hold on, I just. Or today, even it was actually covered by Dan McDonnell, an Irish football journalist, that there is now plans to reintroduce, providing the government allow it, that we could have some fans in the stadium for certainly the home games. So I mean that would be huge for us as a town if we could even have 15,000-20,000 people in the Aviva to see Arsenal, you know, at least the club would get some sort of good payday from that, taking the gate receipts. But that will obviously rely on government guidelines at the time. I don't know what you think of that, whether it should happen or not.
I don't know. Numbers are kind of consistently high at the minute. And if Dublin's in lockdown, it probably would seem a bit hypocritical to let fans in.
The worry would be as well, certainly for Arsenal fans, that they could come in via Belfast and drive down, I suppose, would be one thing. I seen somebody tweeting today that currently there's no way of stopping that.
No, guards don't have any extra powers at the minute.
Yeah, so that would obviously be a concern. But in terms of like not moving, we'll not, you know, kind of, I don't want to move away from how good of a news story it is. I mean, so I did see some people, interestingly enough, tweeting out that this might actually be a double-edged sword, because one, we're not going to win the league this year in Dundalk. Shamrock Rovers will win that. And two, some people thinking that if we had not have got into the Europa League, for better or for worse, it may have been a chance to have a look at maybe our owners might have sold the club. I know there's some fans happy with them, some fans not. For people who don't know, we're owned by Peak Six, who are an American company, who also own, well, part ownership in Bournemouth and Roma, and I think a couple of other teams around Europe.
Yeah, we've talked about them before in terms of that they hire gambling analysts rather than sporting analysts to work at clubs.
Unfortunately, the previous manager, Vinnie Peart, ran into some trouble with them in terms of one of the owners, the actual owner, you know, wanted to get involved in the team, and he wanted a phone in the dugout, and he wanted the goalkeeper to take corner kicks and free kicks because he was the best kicker, and he wanted Arshon's lovely neighbour to take the throw-ins because of his basketball history, all that kind of
multi-ball.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What I did like was a tweet that was sent out by one of the Dundalk fans, Monster Derby Fax, saying Dundalk already with plenty of experience of battling mold in Oriel Park. I enjoyed a little chuckle of that. For anyone who doesn't know, Dundalk Stadium is ready to, unfortunately, fall down.
They rent that stadium. They don't own it.
Yeah, it's a lease. It's like a 100-year lease from a local family. Look, and very interesting side note, and anybody that's not from probably Ireland will not actually know what I'm talking about here. But RTE announced today, lads, that they've decided to broadcast the Novenia from Dundalk. RTE have caught Dundalk fever, by the looks of it. The Novena is going to be broadcast on the 18th of the 16th.
Oh, God. They're going to give Jim Corr a chat show, aren't they?
But anybody that doesn't know, the Novena is basically a very long mass. And it's going to be broadcast live on RTE, the national broadcast station, for that entire week. And it seems
instead of Jurassic Park.
Dundalk fever has well and truly set in. So will you guys be watching?
I'd nearly rather watch a Jim Corr chat show.
Well, I wouldn't rule that one out just yet.
Yeah.
In other news away from sport, I woke up to the news that the leader of the free world, Donald Trump, has contracted coronavirus. I'm sure that you have all at this stage seen that.
Yeah.
What did you make of the whole thing? Were you surprised?
I wasn't surprised at all. I was kind of waiting for it to happen at some point.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of refusing to wear a mask and going to rallies and talking smack about coronavirus.
Yeah, it came at more of a perfect time as well, because it might actually shut him up after in the next debate. It was atrocious. Well, he just kept on interrupting. Might just quieten him, might put him back in his corner.
Well, funny enough, there's a train of thought emerging on Twitter and in general on the news that this may actually become sort of a sympathy vote with him. You know, that people might actually go, oh, well, look, he wasn't able to give us our best performance because blah, 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 blah. Well, but we'll vote for him anyway.
Or worse, he gets over at Cormac and goes to the next debate like, oh, despite this, I'm ready to go. You're nearly like Rocky.
Whatever way he'll try and put it in his favour. Like, even I noticed today with, do you know that thing back at the rally, he was saying it's the Democrats' new hoax. And he kind of didn't really say what he meant by, you know, what he meant by that. And people kind of took it that he was saying that COVID was a hoax. And because this has come back now to haunt him, like the COVID, he caught COVID, everyone's saying, oh, you said it was a hoax. And it's came up on the internet that, oh no, he was referring to the Democrats, you know, the Democrats making up something about how he's not handling it effectively. That's what he meant, was the hoax. But the way, you know, it's come up again, and he's able to sort of swing it his own way, or come up with some sort of way to make himself look good.
I saw some big conspiracies on Twitter today where people are saying that the Democrats and CNN were kind of setting up the mics and stuff, and clearly they planted COVID on the mics, and and that's how Big Don got it.
Yeah,
the Democrats and someone with COVID come in and just lick the mics.
Well, that was what I was going to say. Somebody just come in and, you know, what did they do? Like, did they sprinkle COVID over it? Or how does that work?
Yeah, I did see some good stuff today regarding it. My favorite tweet was, there's a really good Twitter account called @TheIrish4. So it's a Twitter account that it's managed by a few different people, but they tweet out relevant words in Irish during trends on Twitter. So earlier today, they just tweeted out, the Irish for bleach is Turtor, which I quite liked. But they're really good. I would definitely give them a follow.
I seen that, just when you mentioned conspiracy theories, before I just quickly wrap up the whole Trump thing, I seen a lot of people tweeting out about this QAnon crowd that... this is now part of, this has all been planned, you know, and Trump's now going to be, Trump and the First Lady are going to be moved to a protected area now, so deep state operatives can clean up the Capitol, you know, and all this kind of
What do you mean by clean up the Capitol?
Well, you see, this is what I got confused about, because I thought they were against the deep state, but it appears in this scenario they're possibly with the deep state, as in, like, Trump has okayed this kind of, like, you know, to, like, this plan to, like, take back Washington from, you know, the do-gooders as such. So I don't know if they're talking about a military coup of some sort, but yeah.
Sounds like the Purge.
It's very difficult to explain, because the QAnon conspiracy has just come up with so many broad statements, and even something like Donald Trump raising his hand in a certain manner can mean something, do you know?
It does.
Yeah, it means, yeah, Bill Clinton is doing up to something, or, you know, something's going on. They make anything out of anything with it.
But it means he's got a secret sex dungeon underneath a pizzeria, Sean.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Pizzagate. Yeah.
It was interesting because, like, I seen Edward Isaac Dovier tweeted out, the next Trump Biden debate is scheduled for October 15th. So, I mean, that's 13 days away. Trump would, if he's a full recovery, just be coming out of his supposed 2-week quarantine. And, like, let's be honest with you, as Edward says here, it's just not possible to put Biden, who's in the high-risk group himself, just as Trump is, in the same room on the same podium. Like, it's not going to happen. CNN afterwards tweeted out, Joe Biden is expected to get tested for coronavirus this morning, according to a source familiar with his plans. So what happens if this these debates don't go ahead, what happens if realistically this election does not take place?
Then like, the dictatorship starts, Cormac, of course.
Exactly. Now, I've seen Irish chosen Simpsons one. Fans, Irish Simpsons fans, and look, it's obviously tough to convey this on a podcast without imagery, but they had some absolutely cracking submissions to their web, their Twitter page about them. I don't know if anyone has seen any of them, but maybe we could retweet some of them. They're absolutely brilliant.
I saw the one with Homer in the car, or is it rushing to get don't get that
one. Oh, yeah.
I saw that one.
Cool. Yeah, I think I saw something about like something about drinking bleach. I think they replaced the milk carton and put bleach on it or something.
That was my favorite one, along with you know, like that one when Burns is in his office and Homer's his assistant, his car gets crushed into a cube.
It was like, you have 5 minutes to remove your cube.
It was like, here are your messages. You should act now to minimize the virus that has apparently emerged from Eastern China. Message number two, you have a small window of opportunity remaining to undo the damage you've already done. Message number three, you need to do something. 200,000 Americans are dead. Message number four, you have tested positive for COVID-19. And that was it. But your health
is now a cube.
But yeah, just the last point on Trump. I seen one and I just liked it because of the irony of the whole thing. It appears that Donald has actually gone and tested positive for the China virus, as he calls it, on National China Day, Thursday, October the 1st, 2020. So
isn't it ironic?
Isn't the conspiracy just got a whole lot more real, huh?
You love to see it.
Yeah. But that's all I have at the moment on the Donald.
Thank you, Cormac. Lads, before we wrap up with the content for this week, did you have any kind of tweets of the week or last 2 weeks?
My own just for sheer kind of just, you know, making fun of things and not taking things too seriously was Michael Darcy photos revolving door from Searson McHugh. Tweet of the week for me.
Yeah, it's pretty casual and a good sense of humor from Saoirse over the whole thing. Cormac, okay. Do any yourself?
Okay, I have two. One, I'm not sure we might have to cut it. But I have two. We can decide whether we can go with it. It was Nigeria Independence Day.
Where is this going?
Celebrating their Independence Day the other day, and some people from the African community that I follow on Twitter tweeted out a thread of all the best Nollywood scenes. So for everyone that doesn't know, this is Nigerian Hollywood, and some of it is fantastic, brilliant, well worth a watch.
They make really cheap action movies, don't they?
Yes, absolutely fantastic stuff. Outside of that, Justine Stafford, local favourite, Irish girl, tweeted out, how could Trump steal National Potato Day's thunder like this? And I did not know it was National Potato Day.
Oh, I heard him talk about potatoes, yeah.
How did we not know this?
We are bad Irish men.
So after that, I went and got a bag of chips.
Yeah. That was twisted your arm there, Cormac.
Well, that was it. I needed Virgil.
Justine, if you're listening, that's on you.
Thanks for making me even fatter.
I was looking at two different tweets myself. One of them is, I think I was saying this to you guys earlier, there's that kind of video going around of these robotics engineers in Japan that have created this absolutely huge, like 10-story tall robot that looks like something like a Gundam robot, like something like a Voltron, like from Pacific Rim, that's kind of moving around, and they're testing out the movements of the robot. And everybody's really impressed with it, apart from one person called Janet. And Janet tweets out underneath this feat of robotics, better putting knowledge into sorting out the virus.
Yeah, you see, that always does rankle with me. It's kind of the like, what about our homeless?
you know. But it's like, it's something completely outside the expertise of these people making a giant robot. It's like, why aren't you bioengineering a vaccine?
You're commissioned to build a giant robot, not solve the pandemic.
Yeah. And I also had a second one. I think this one was doing around. So I think it even appeared on a few WhatsApp groups I'm in. But it was regarding this news story of this person who died from eating too much licorice.
Oh,
I don't know if you heard about this. The BBC North America tweeted this out. Man dies from eating more than a bag of licorice a day. So apparently, whatever's in licorice, eat too much for the day, you'll die. But like bananas.
Yeah, I was going to say what's in it that killed him?
Well, let's have a look.
Some sort of must be toxic, is it?
Yeah, so the guy was 54. And let me see. He was a construction worker in the US, in Massachusetts, killed by his licorice habit, doctor says.
But I know. Itself is a plant, isn't it?
Yeah. No, you're dead right. It is. So he says, Cormac, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this. He said studies had shown that glycyrrhizic acid.
Didn't you do just say at the beginning of this that, you know, you've done a course involving health and health sciences?
I did, but I'm going to edit it out. Okay. The active ingredient licorice could cause hypertension. Oh, okay. There's like loads of basically everything heart related and renal failure. So there's something in licorice if you eat too much of it. It's basically reduced the potassium in your blood. So the opposite of eating too many bananas is eating too much licorice.
Like I would have gone with, I would have suspected some sort of kidney failure. Yeah. If that was the case.
How did this relate to your tweet of the week?
Yeah, sorry. Somebody responded to it at LFC. Oh, Liverpool FC, Robbie, I guess. Oh,
that's enough.
I know, we're done. Podcast over. But Robbie kind of quote retweeted this and just said, poor family must be going through all sorts.
It was a pun of the week anyway.
Yeah, I like that.
You know what? That's a good way to end.
LFC, Robbie, I take back what I said.
Robbie, that's a good way to end the podcast now. Welcome to the breakdown. All right, gents, thanks again for joining me for the season premiere, season two premiere of Tweets Ahead. Were you rusty getting back into it? How'd you feel kind of doing the podcast again?
Nah, I was a bit rusty there. I was a bit jet lagged from a game of football and the 2 week hiatus, I think.
Did you fly in from the game?
Where'd you fly in from? My back, is it, from carrying the entire team?
Cormac, that's the best game of football he's had so far. Like, come on.
To be fair to him, he was very good, and I liked the way he got angry during it. You know, one or two things kind of, you know, happened, and Sean got angry. You could see him getting angry.
I do think I pushed Sean over twice.
And there was one time I played the ball to him, and somebody stepped in front of him, and he just got up, and he was like, "That's a foul. That is a foul." He just walked back towards me going, "That is a foul. That's a foul." And I was like, "Oh, yeah.
For anybody listening, that is Sean's equivalent to going absolutely crazy. One of the kindest souls on a football pitch going nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
It was like that.
But we did combine for a nice flicky pokey goal.
We did.
Towards the end. Yeah.
Teamwork makes the dream work, folks.
Yeah. But that was actually while Fergal, who's, you know, I would hope self-admittedly his eyesight is not the best, from over, I'd say about 20 feet away, tried to argue with Sean, who was standing beside the ball. Fergal was adamant that the ball had gone out of play when it quite clearly had not gone out of play. And my God, brilliant, he was not letting it go.
This no way. Feels this feels like a good time for me to do the outro.
Yeah, I think maybe you should.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks as always. Yeah, sorry.
Go off there with your tail in between your legs. Yeah.
Yeah. Go on, pal.
Yeah. Yeah, no, of all the ways I was thinking of ending the podcast tonight, this is not it. Well, I guess I'm going to thank Cormac and Sean for You're joining welcome. Me again this week. No problem. Big shout out to Bill Coleman for providing the music for the podcast this week. It's a song called Welcome to the Breakdown. We'll be using that moving forward. You can find all of Bill's stuff on Spotify and all the usual music sources. We will be retweeting his Bandcamp, his link where you can purchase his stuff as well. Are you happy with the intro music this week, guys?
I think it's pretty great. Yeah, it's, I remember seeing him a couple of years ago and I thought it was very good. And, yeah. I got that kind of, when you put it on there for me, it's like, oh yeah, that's...
Nostalgic, that yeah, up in the old spirit store. It's great stuff.
Yeah.
Very God, much I miss so. Live music. We went a few times to see him in the spirit store. I actually think it was, as we discussed earlier on, pre-Sean. So maybe in a way, maybe Bill is somewhat responsible for, you know, some of our early interactions with Sean, which is always
bringing the podcast together.
So thanks Full very circle. Much. Thanks very much for that, Bill.
Excellent. As always, guys, if you're listening to this, you can find us on a multitude of podcast platforms, Metra. Including... Sorry?
A plethora of platforms.
Yeah. I like that you guys are now part of the outro. It's great. you can find us on Apple, Breaker, CastBox, Google, Spotify, Anchor, of course, which hosts us, and now Amazon Music as well. Thanks for joining us in Tweets Ahead this week. We'll see you guys next week.